Praise the Lord. Well, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I want to give a little reading about that, but I wanted to explain something first. And I'd never really thought about it, and somebody explained this to me, and I thought, well, if I don't know it, maybe there's a few others that don't. Memorial Day is specifically for those who have given their lives for this country all through the wars up till now. And we don't honor that. Thank God for that. We wouldn't have what we have. Maybe we don't like what we have right now, but what we've had over the years, thank God for it. Hallelujah. And we need to be appreciative of those who have given their lives. Hallelujah. For our freedom, yes. We can still have service and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lest we forget, will someone tell the story? Can anyone recall the horrors of the First World War and the thousands that would fall? The doughboys in the trenches that were bombed and shelled and gassed. Is anyone still alive today who can relate what really passed? And what about the millions who served the second time around? Their numbers lessen every day. Soon they will not be found. Nearly 500,000 paid the price to save the world and make it free. My friends, do you remember them and their sacrifice for you and me? Do you remember Korea? The forgotten war. The first of many battles born and bred because of politics and ideologies that left so many sons and fathers dead. Have we forgotten those who burned our flag and cursed the deeds of men who stood so tall, who bravely served and died in South Vietnam, their names now etched on a cold gray wall? Does our memory still harbor thoughts of conflicts different from the norm? Somalia, Grenada, Kosovo, Panama, Bosnia, and Desert Storm. Of the legions called upon to serve and were sent to fight on foreign shore, how many thousands still remain, their fate unknown forevermore? Let us devote today, Memorial Day, to those who heeded freedom's call. Let us retell the tales, lest we forget that all gave some, and some gave all. We need to praise God. You know, Jesus paid it all for you and me. That's what counts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have another short one I want to read. Memorial Day should remind us that freedom is always under challenge, and that freedom is never free. Freedom is important enough to live for and precious enough to die for. Let us not forget those men and women who have served our great nation during times of peace and conflict. Because they gave their last full measure of devotion, we are forever in their debt. We stand with bowed heads and humble hearts, for their graves are hallowed places. Their service to God and country will always be remembered. On this day, we can pay no higher tribute to our dead, nor render greater service to our great nation than instill in others who seemingly have no special reason for remembering what the true spirit of Memorial Day really is. It is a day for all Americans because of the price they paid. Praise God. Now, Pastor and his wife are on vacation this week because it's their 40th anniversary. Praise God. And we appreciate that. Also, it's his birthday this week. So get a chance to bless him, do that, which you will be given a chance, I'm sure. But in his place this morning, he asked Aaron Auer if he would come and speak to us this morning. Now, all this stuff you see up here, and as far as I understand, he's going to be sharing about how God sent missionaries to this Northwest and the price they paid, so that you and I have the gospel here. Aaron? Come up here and God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Cook. Don't you love Pastor Cook? Amen? Boy, this church wouldn't be the same without him, would it? Hallelujah. Praise God. It is a great honor to be here with you again. I've been here over the last few years, I think three times. A Wednesday and a Sunday night. And I think this is the first time on a Sunday morning to be able to minister. But I just want to thank you for being here. It is a special day. And hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you and thank you. Praise God once again. For those that have gone before us spiritually and physically, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love Pastor Jan and Sue? Amen. I love them. Praise God. I love them. He loves me. He lets me come preach. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wasn't that a great worship, by the way? Amen. You guys got it going on here. Glory to God. Great pre-service prayer. Man, I was just up there in the pastor's office for a few minutes and just overhearing. Amen. Come to pre-service prayer if you get a chance, you know, or just commit to it. What a blessed time. And so I was going to honor Pastor Ted, but is he even here today? Pastor Ted? Okay. All right. Praise God. One time he says, yeah, he came down with, when I was pastoring, he came down with Pastor Jan when we were in Lake Oswego. And he had a word about blaze of glory. Hallelujah. For me, well, I just feel like I'm stepping into that, right? You know, I pastored for almost 10 years. You know, that's a good season for things, but I'm on the road preaching now. I'm all over the state of Oregon. You know, that's where I'm from. I'm a native. But this is my first time to be able to preach in Washington State with this message of Roar, Reviving Oregon's Amazing Roots. Now, Brother Dean Braxton, you know Brother Dean Braxton, right? Don't you love Brother Dean? Hallelujah. He keeps telling me, now Aaron, it's the Aaron territory, the Oregon territory. The Oregon territory. Remember, the Oregon territory was Oregon, what's now Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and some of Montana and Wyoming. Amen. So I want you to keep that in mind. Can we go ahead and put up a display? You know, people that know me and they see all this stuff and they see, you know, we're going to do a kind of little PowerPoint thing here. They're going to think, what in the world's happened to you, brother? But listen, I was at the state capitol in Oregon. How many of you have been to state capitol in Oregon? Few of you. All right. I was there 2 years ago at a rally. There was about 2,000 people there. It was a couple legislative bills, you know, to take away our rights as one man, one woman. Amen. That's what marriage is, right? One man, one woman. Amen. Praise God. That's not a political issue. That's a moral issue. And so I'd never been a part of anything like that. And there I found myself at the Capitol. There's about 2,000 people there, most of them of the Russian community. The Slavic brethren, you know, they're tight. They're bonded with each other good. And they realize what happened in their country. You know, how they lost their freedom. So there's a lot of young people. There was a lot of young people there that day. More young people than anybody. They found out I was a pastor, so they had me come up and pray. So we prayed from the state capitol steps. That's a good place to pray from, wouldn't you say? Well, went on several hours, so they asked me to come up again. This time I thought, might as well preach, pray, and prophesy from our state capitol steps about the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost ever to hit our state. Hallelujah. So we did that. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Well, I was spiritually tuned in that day, all right? And I'm looking around the Capitol, and I'm looking at some statues. Now, this is Memorial Day, right? We're to remember, lest we forget, the lives of all the men and women that have died in service to our country to keep the freedom that we have. Amen? Well, the Bible talks about memorials, doesn't it? You remember those 12 tribes? When they crossed over the Jordan? And God told them, go back, pick up a stone, cross back over, pile it up, these 12 rocks as a memorial of what God has done so you never forget. So your generations to come will know that I delivered and brought you through. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They're spiritual memorials, monuments. Remember there in Acts 10, Cornelius, remember him? He was a Roman centurion. A man who was devout and sought God regular, prayed to God same time every day. You know, just down before God. He's a Gentile. He's not even born again yet, but he's seeking God. Yep. For the truth. Amen. God fearing. So what happens? One day distinctly an angel appears. Yep. All of a sudden, suddenly, amen? Just doing the same routine, but all of a sudden. He appears, an angel from God. Says, Cornelius, thy prayers have been heard. Thy prayers and thine alms have come up as a memorial before God. There's a permanent memorial before the throne of God, hallelujah, of His prayers and of His alms. Now go do something. Go send for that man Peter. He'll come and preach to you. We gotta have preachers, right? We gotta have someone preaching the Word of God. How beautiful are the feet of them that carry and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your leaders around here, beautiful feet, amen? And you've got beautiful feet because you're carrying the message, hallelujah. So this came up as a memorial before God. What is this really taking place? God is sending the first evangelistic campaign to the Gentiles.
Amen.
We want to talk about, Paul talks about it in Romans about the first convert, the first fruit in Asia. We need to know who were the first people born again in Oregon and Washington? Were there one? Who were they? Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be good to know? Who was the first one born again in Tacoma, Puget Sound, in Nisqually? Well, I'm going to share a few things here in just a moment. But this memorial came up before God and it caused there to be the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost to the Gentiles where Peter's preaching. Glory! How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power and how He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with Him. For we're witnesses of all these things. He's preaching the anointing of God in His Son to heal and to do good. And how you killed Him. But on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah! He's preaching all this just a few moments. And what happens? The Holy Ghost fell on them.
Amen.
As He did on them on the beginning. In the beginning. Yep. They were born of the Spirit, washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost. They heard Him speaking in tongues and magnifying God. The first evangelistic campaign. The soul winning outreach and infilling of the Holy Ghost. I think that's pretty important, don't you? I think we need to go back and look at that again. See? Remember that woman? We're just kind of establishing some things here. Remember the woman that came in, broke that alabaster box, anointed our Lord's body for burial? Remember that? You know, you always got the religious crowd to rebuke you, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You could have done so much good with that, with all the poor. Yeah, there's poor, but listen. What's more important than ministering to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first and foremost, to minister unto Him. She didn't probably have anyone tell her to go do it. It was just in her heart to do it. Just go do what's in your heart. Go do it, hallelujah. She did what was in her heart. God put it there. Broke that alabaster box. And you know what Jesus said? Everywhere in the world that this gospel is preached, this will be told as a memorial for her. For her. So if we're preaching the gospel, that needs to be told, doesn't it? Well, we just told it here. Glory to God. But it was a memorial for her. See, there's spiritual memorials before God. But there's spiritual memorials that will manifest in the natural to where we can physically look at something. And we got one right here. See this statue right up here? These two of them, actually. This right here. Now, this is a preacher on horse with Bible in hand looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's a Bible in hand. This is in Oregon. This is where they supposedly tell us Oregon and Washington, the least churched in the nation, right? You never say that again before God, before man. Because that is no longer so. Amen? Amen. We're going to find out we're rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got a statue here on the state capitol grounds. This is a painting of the dedication of the Circuit Rider statue, April 19th, 1924. How many of you have seen that before? It's an awesome thing. I'm in Oregon. Never really paid much attention to it. It's 100 paces off the east steps of the Capitol. Do you know what's inscribed on the statue? Let me tell you what's inscribed on the statue right here. Commemorating the labors and achievements of the ministers of the gospel who as circuit riders became the friends, counselors, and evangelists to the pioneers on every American frontier. Woo! Whoa, glory, hallelujah! Commemorating the labors and achievements of the ministers of the gospel. You mean the Book of Acts of Oregon? My opening scripture here. Just hold your place there. Where did I have you leave? I haven't had have you leave anywhere yet, but getting a little ahead of myself. Matthew 13, verse 51. I've even got my old Bible here. 1846. You see that, baby? I'm doing it up, brother. I'm getting lost in this stuff. Lost in what? Our spiritual roots. Lost in the sense where, you know what? Not that we don't know where it's at, but lost in it to bring it forth to where it's found again. Because look what Jesus said right here. Matthew 13, verse 51. This is Jesus speaking this to His disciples after He's shared several parables. He said, verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto Him, yea, Lord. Then said He unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. A wise scribe that's instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like a wise householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. If we're going to move forward in the future to reap the harvest, if we don't have a good understanding of the old in the sense of the spiritual sacrifices, the spiritual workings of God to bring us to the place that we're at, we're not going to be fully and properly equipped to finish this thing out. Remember Stephen? One of the seven? Full of faith in the Holy Ghost? He's full of faith just to serve tables. Amen? He's being called to give an account of the gospel. He had to defend it. Amen? Sometimes we have to. Remember him? Acts 7? He starts with who? Father Abraham. Isaac. Jacob. The patriarchs. Joseph. Moses. The kings. The prophets. Up to the very hour of the gospel of Jesus Christ that He preached to them by connecting the spiritual generations, move of God in a way that it was brought forth the gospel right now. Hallelujah. That's one of the ways we need to preach it. That's the longest recorded message in the New Testament that I can find. He knew His Bible. He knew the spiritual history of God working among the nation of Israel. Is it important that we understand the founding of our nation? Our founding fathers, most of them were godly men. Don't you let anyone tell you otherwise. But the devil tries to discredit all this, right? When they had church in the Capitol or the House of Representatives started in 1800 for 100 years. Let me say that again. You know they had church services in the Capitol, started in 1800 for about 100 years. Well, they took preachers preaching the Word of the living God to the President, to the Congress, to all the officials. Back in the 1770s, Congress, very often before they would go into session, they would have Bible study and prayer meetings for 2 to 3 hours, getting the mind of the Lord. Now let's go to work.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. That's the spirit of this nation. That's the heart of this nation. That's what's being revived, amen. What about Oregon? What about Washington? Well, there's a monument here that's commemorating the circuit rider preachers. I didn't even know really what a circuit rider preacher was. Oh, God, forgive me. But I know now. A circuit rider preacher. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Now, see this man right here? Does anyone know whose statue this is? Can everyone see my pointer? You ever heard of Jason Lee? Jason Lee was Oregon's and the Oregon Territory's first missionary. It says right on there, Oregon's first missionary. I've got a copy of his journal right here. His prayers when he came out in 1834. Wouldn't you like to hear a few of the prayers and the heart and the sincerity and the purity and the power and the glory and the commitment and the sacrifice to go win the Indians to the Lord Jesus Christ? We got his prayers in here. Well, maybe we'll get to that in a minute if we get to have enough time. Anyway, we'll share some of that. But you know Jason Lee's statue? Because every state can have up to 2 statues represented in the nation's capital. Oregon's statue, 2 of them, John McLaughlin, most people have heard of him, and Jason Lee. This is a replica of the one that's in Statuary Hall in our nation's capital. I've seen it in the rotunda. He right here, he's got that's a petition in hand, and that's Bible in hand right there. These are 50 yards from each other in Salem currently. This is the old Capitol. Kind of looks like your current Capitol before it burnt down. The devil burned it down and destroyed a lot of the documents with it. Jason Lee represents Oregon to the nation's capital. A missionary, a preacher, preaching statesman. Do you know why he came? Let me tell you this. I got a book. See some of these books up here? Preserve Our Heritage. How did I find these things? Did I Google them? I didn't know what to Google. From that day, being at the Capitol 2 years ago, April 16, 2007, I was stirred in my heart. I need to go find out everything I can about Oregon's history. The spiritual side of it, see? I begin to dig, use bookstores, just hunting around, you know, reading through it, finding what bears witness with my heart. Oh, wow, you see this? You mean this is our history here? Back in 1831, there was 4 chiefs from the Nez Perce tribe that traveled some 3,000 miles in search of the book of heaven, the Bible. Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Four chiefs from the Walla Walla area. You heard of Walla Walla? Walla Walla, Washington? were stirred up in their council of 1831. They had their council. They were stirred up by the Holy Ghost. Why do you say that? Just hold on. They decided, we've got to go look for this book of heaven we've heard about. How'd they hear about a book? What book? How did they know? Do you know anyone in all of history has traveled some 3,000 miles afoot? The heathen, the ungodly. Not just for them, but for their tribes. Well, they did. They showed up in St. Louis where General Clark from the Lewis and Clark Expedition, you heard of that. They showed up unannounced. We're here for the book of heaven in our language. What do you think that would do to somebody? Anybody? Well, here's the farewell speech of Heho Kosteikin. Thank God for Heho Kosteikin. Here's his departure speech. We come to you over a trail of many moons from the setting sun. We come to you with our eyes partly open for more light for our people who sit in darkness. We made our way to you with strong arms through many enemies and strange lands. The two fathers who came with us, the braves of many winters, we leave here asleep by your great wigwam. They were tired in their journey of many moons, and their moccasins were worn out. Our people sent us to get the white man's book of heaven. You have made our feet heavy with burdens of gifts, and our moccasins will grow old with carrying them. But the book is not among them. We are going back over the long, sad trail to our people. When we tell them in our big council after one more snow that we did not find the book, no word will be spoken by our old men nor by our young braves. One by one, they will rise up and go out into silence. Our people will die in darkness and they will go on the long path to other hunting grounds. No white man will go with them and no book of heaven to make the way plain. We have no more words. Farewell. You ever heard that before? They don't teach that in our public schools anymore, do they? They used to. I'm going to show you here in just a minute. They used to. Has there ever been an attempt of all of history? Someone like I just mentioned a few moments ago, to acquire the book of heaven. What a way to describe the Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what happened? It was reported on. It was circulated. It went around the country. And the first church to grab onto it, the first religious organization. When I'm referring to religious now, I'm talking about the good religion. I'm not talking about, you know, the bondage religion. I'm talking about that old good religion, amen, that the Bible says is faultless and pure. Hallelujah. James says to take care of orphans and widows, praise God, and to keep oneself from being spotted from the world. That's good religion, amen. That's what I'm talking about. The first ones to grab onto this, you ready for this, was the Methodist Episcopal Church. From the Wesleys. Here's a proclamation, a great proclamation, missionary intelligence, hear, hear. By Dr. Fisk. Who was Dr. Fisk? They say he trains 1,000 ministers. Like Brother Hagin trained ministers? Listen to what he had to say in response to this. The communication of Brother G.P. Disaway, including one from the Wyandotte agent, on the subject of the deputation of the Flathead Indians to General Clark, has excited many in this section intense interest. We are for having a mission established there at once. I have proposed the following plan. Let two suitable men, unencumbered with families and possessing the spirit of the martyrs, throw themselves into the nation, live with them, learn their language, preach Christ to them, and as the way opens, introduce schools, agriculture, and the arts of civilized life. The means for these improvements can be introduced through the fur traders and by reinforcements from which time to time we can strengthen the mission. Money shall be forthcoming. I will be bondsman for the church. All we want is the men. Who will go? Who? I know one young man who I think will go, and of whom I can say I know of none like him for the enterprise. If he will go, and I've written to him on the subject, we only want another, and the mission will be commenced the coming season, were I young and unencumbered, how joyfully would I go? But this honor is reserved for another. Bright will be his crown, glorious his reward, affectionately yours, Wilbur Fisk, Wesleyan University, March 9th, 1833. Do you know who he handpicked by the Holy Ghost? Jason Lee. He knew the best that God had, the best who God had been equipping for this task, to be thrust in labors to the ends and the uttermost parts of the world, the Oregon Territory, hallelujah, and his name was Jason Lee. Man, I'm proud of this to find out. My goodness, we are blessed in a righteous root, in a righteous seed. There is no way that if Jason Lee's motives or that ministry team, that I call them the soul winning ministry team, a five, came out and established the mission just north of Salem in 1834, there is no way, there is absolutely no way, if their motives were not pure, that they would have done it. There is absolutely no way. This caused there to be such an awakening to the church. To the churches, really. Yeah. Do you know who came 2 years after Jason Lee? You ever hear of Marcus Whitman? Yeah. From the Presbyterians. Here comes the Presbyterians now sending the best they've got. Hallelujah. Thrusting their workers out here. It awakened the whole church. All the denominations. All the different sects in the sense of, you know, the different organizations, religious groups. Wanting to win people to the Lord. You know what Jason Lee said in his diary? My main object I've kept in view for the glory of God is the salvation of souls. Glory. He never lost that. He never lost that. Look at this. Now, I know we don't have time to read all these prayers in here, but here's one or two. Listen to this, Pastor Cook. While I was journeying along, my mind reverted to the past privileges I have enjoyed in the sanctuary of God and could truly say that I longed exceedingly for the house of God. But instead of listening to the word of life flowing from the lips of heralds of salvation, I'm doomed to labor and on and hear little but cursing and shooting. Very few of the company know when the Sabbath rolls around except reminded of it. I feel a lack in my own mind, a want of a closer walk with Him. Whom my soul loveth, a more free and constant communion with the author of all happiness. O Lord, my God, make me spiritually minded, which is life and peace. Amen. Scripture from Romans 8. A communion with God like David had. Hallelujah. And as he's journeying out here, he's praying and seeking God. Already he's longing for the privileges, sanctuary privileges, they called it, to meet in the house of God. What a privilege it is to be here this morning. Amen. It's a privilege. He's going and he's the apostle to the Oregon Territory, but he's longing for the fellowship of God with the saints. Now, look at this. Three of our party, free trappers, left us here with the intention to catch beaver in the Black Hills, and thus they expose themselves, their lives. Yea, they run greater risks for a few beaver skins than we do to save souls. Well, that'll preach, won't it? And yet some who call themselves Christian, tell it not to Gath, would have persuaded us to abandon our enterprise because of the danger which attended it. But blessed be God. I rejoice to see the return of Christian Sabbath, though deprived of sanctuary privileges. On this day, 10,000 fervent prayers ascend the throne of grace for missionary and mission operations. And how can we but rejoice to witness its return? May that time soon come when we shall enjoy the privileges of God's house on the western decline of the Rocky Mountains. That includes this house. Hallelujah. Yeah. This house here today. He was blazing the trail for this church. For all the churches of the Northwest Territory. 10,000 prayers a saint. He's realizing today's they're having church. Back on the East Coast, And some 10,000 prayers are ascending the throne of grace. Amen. For mission area and mission operations, for the success of it. The church isn't just, you know, just praying sporadically and, you know, scattered. They are in one heart, one mind, one accord, praying together, all 10,000 of them. Mm-hmm. Don't you think somebody, like Brother Dean Braxton talks about our prayer lives, our prayers, they're not shelved, are they?
Right.
They go into the Father. They were praying out things they could have been praying out right this morning. Hallelujah. Who are we going to have in the last days? Pastoring in that Tacoma area, the Puget Sound. Who to lead the way? Well, let's pray out the best we've got. Hallelujah. And then there was a man, glory to God, Pastor John Cook, Pastor Jan Butler. Hallelujah. That's some good preaching. It's the truth. Hallelujah. All right, one more before I bore you. You know, don't want to bore you here. Thirty-one years of my almost useless life are like a fable gone. Once I sincerely wished that I'd never seen the light, but bless the Lord, it's otherwise with me now, and I thank God I was ever born of the flesh that I might be born of the Spirit. He's preaching the born-again trail. Hallelujah. Wouldn't Pastor Jan like to hear that? That's why we're recording it just for you, Pastor Jan. Hallelujah. It is hardly probable that I shall see 31 more years, but be that as it may, I trust that the residue of my days will be spent more to the glory of God and the good of the world than those that have already passed. Oh my God, help me to redeem time. It seems that I am doing nothing and under existing circumstances can do nothing for Thee. Lord, open a door for usefulness and give me a heart to labor to promote Thy glory and the ultimate salvation of my fellow creatures. This day seems more like Sabbath in any sense I left St. Louis. And though far from God's visible temple and the soul-cheering and spirit-exhilarating ordinances of His house, like this place, amen? Yet He whose presence fills the temple and gives it all its charms and all of its attractions is here, and He makes our paradise, and where He is heaven.
Amen.
You ever heard Brother Dean Braxton say the reason why heaven's so great is because the Father and Jesus are there? Where He is heaven. He's preaching Dean's message. Hallelujah. That's been at the throne of God. Well, good stuff, isn't it? You ever heard any of this stuff before? Man, I hadn't. But I'm finding this stuff out. Being led by the Holy Ghost. He'll guide us into all truth, not just some truth. This needs to be brought forth to the state of Oregon. So what do? We're bringing it forth to the state of Oregon. I'm no longer pastoring. I hit the road. Hallelujah. A modern day circuit rider preacher hunting down a place to preach like they did. Whoa, glory. I've already been in a Baptist church, Methodist, Lutheran, Church of God, Assembly of God, Foursquare, non-denominational churches, community churches. We got to get into Calvary Chapel. They've got their, you know, agendas for them to change their messages, you know. Excuse me, but let me tell you something. Jesus stands at the door and knocks of His own church. He's trying to get in His own church. Will you let me in? Well, doesn't mean that everyone's going to let Him in. But He's trying to get in where He's not already welcomed. Oh, they say He's welcomed. But the most important thing to the Lord is still souls coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Remember that? Dean talking about the strategy of heaven. For what purpose? People come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. No, give me something deep. For people to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Chase and Lee's heart was for the glory of God, the salvation of souls. The main object he's kept in view for the glory of God is the salvation of souls. There was a harvest of souls among the Indians. When that mission was established, I'm going to read you something of the mission. Which book is it here? Which page is it? I know it's on 185. Who needs to mark them, right? When we're reviving Oregon's amazing roots, here's the spirit of the mission. It was established in 1834 by five of the missionaries, Jason Lee, the leader. The Indian missionary teacher was Cyrus Shepherd. He was the first teacher to the Oregon Territory. Now there was a man, listen to this, this is the first conversion for a white man in the Oregon Territory. On about the first day of January 1837, Mr. Webley Hawkshurst, a native of Long Island, New York, who had been strangely led so many thousand miles from his birthplace into the most unknown regions of America, came into the mission house. Just somehow, how in the world did he... He wasn't looking for it, but he found his way there, found himself there where he was welcomed, as were all comers, to its hospitality. Now remember, this is only about 2 or 3 years after the mission was established. It was the evening of the evening class meeting. He was invited to be present. His attention was arrested by the seriousness of the Indian children at family prayers. In a letter dated January 13, 1837, he expresses his feelings and convictions as follows. This is his own testimony. I am thankful that my business led me week before last to your house. I learned more in that 1 week than in 31 years before. You want to learn something? Go to the mission where those Indian children are seeking God and fellowship. When I saw the Indian children praying and worshiping God, I thought it was high time for me, who had lived 31 years in sin without once praying for my own soul, and being in your class meeting and hearing you ask questions and telling your feelings, what could I answer? I felt like a person lost forever. He's under conviction. By what? Observing the fellowship of the children, seeking and worshiping God 2 or 3 years into this mission. You know, Chief, I haven't said his name publicly, but Chief something, Poo Poo Mox Mox, I think it was. You don't want to say that publicly either, do you? Of the Walla Walla Chiefs. He wanted Jason Lee to establish the mission there. But he felt led to just keep moving into the Willamette Valley. And this chief, when he found out the mission was settled, he took his... This is the most influential chief, or one of them. He took his son to the mission and consigned him there. What's that saying? His son could have been there, been worshiping God. Mr. Daniel Lee says he was indeed truly alive to his danger. We pointed him to Jesus, to whom he looked, and ere long found peace to his troubled soul. Great was our joy over this event. We thanked God and took courage. Mr. Hawkshurst lived a Christian life. I mean, he lived it out all those years. That's the first conversion. Hallelujah. Amen. For a white man. You know, in the Dalles, you ever hear of the Dalles up the gorge there? Because what happened when Jason Lee was there 5 years, there's another duty of service that was required to him. All the missionaries and the settlers there in the valley, Willamette Valley, they signed a petition, a memorial to petition for statehood. He was chosen the courier to go all the way back to Washington, D.C. Now you think about that. Go all the way back, present this. And if you read that memorial, it's prophetic. God had a plan from sea to shining sea for America. He lays this petition before Congress, the president. When he's back there, he's recruiting to reinforce the mission and to establish other works. We need more works. He preached, they say, in some 88 different churches. You talk about an arousal. He had a couple of the Indian boys with him. You talk about an awakening, a stirring, a firebrand. They recruited 51 total, men, women, and children, came over on the ship Lazon. They called it the Mayflower of the West. The largest missionary thrust from an American port and to American port came in 1839 and 40. And they strengthened the mission, established a work in the Dalles where there was about, they estimate, 700-800 Indians converted during a year revival. That's most of them that were there. We got the prayers of them. Hallelujah. Astoria, Oregon City. Tried to get one down the Umpqua where I'm from. And then up in Nisqually. You ever heard of Nisqually? Dr. Richmond. He was the leader of that mission. It's in this book right here. Nisqually. Isn't it close by?
Yep.
Where they have the first 4th of July celebration. About 500 attended. The Indians, the naval, U.S. naval ship was there. Indians, mountain men. Pretty good mixture, right? 1841. First 4th of July celebration in Nisqually, just not far from here. There's just so much. Are you serious? It's all fully documented. Why did those chiefs go search for the Book of Heaven? Let's do the screen here real quick. Please, thank you. This is the first time I'm doing this PowerPoint presentation. Wow. You ever heard of Jedediah Smith?
Yep.
Yeah. The shouting Methodist? Bible in hand, rifle another? That's packing pretty good, isn't it? Glory, hallelujah. I'm sorry, could you keep going back there? Thank you. The shouting Methodist. In 1828, how many of you heard of Jedediah Smith? This man, he was a strong Christian man. He didn't chew, he didn't cuss, and he didn't drink. That's a pretty big deal among those mountain men, don't you think? But he carried his Bible with him everywhere he went. And in 1828, he was working his way up the Umpqua River, up into the Columbia. And 1829 and 30, he's where? In the Walla Walla area, where the Nez Perce were. He's showing the Bible. Showing him there's a book that instructs us how to worship the Great Spirit and how to obtain His favor in this life and the life to come. He's sharing his faith in Jesus, showing him the book. 1828, 1829, 1830. So in 1831, here comes those four chiefs sent from a delegation as they were stirred by the Holy Ghost in their council. We got to go find this book we've heard about because of Jedediah Smith, the shouting Methodist, hallelujah, sharing the gospel, planting the gospel seeds. You don't think you have an impact? But Jedediah Smith here, he fulfilled his mission. Let's go to the next slide. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses, right? Where am I getting all these resources? Because this is like, are you sure about... If I wasn't sure about this before God, I would not be bringing this forth. I guarantee you that. But I found several missionary history books and resources that validate all this. We've got a paper from 1959, the centennial edition for Oregon statehood, that we're going to show you here, and it talks about these things in the paper. 1959. And then this right here, which is a copy of this, the Salem story, Salem Public Schools, 1962, Third grade readers, third grade teachers put this together to teach third graders. Who are they showing? Jedediah Smith showing the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, to Chief Heek Holkus Deacon. Four flathead Indian braves started in 1832 to walk all the way from Oregon country to St. Louis, Missouri to get the Bible. Those who reached St. Louis asked for the book. They asked for teachers to help them read. After that, many white men thought of going west to preach to the Indians. This is what they're teaching in our public schools. Let's go to the next one. By the way, on the left, that's a Bible from 1831. If we can go to the next slide, please. There's Jason Lee and his lovely wife. We bring out about his lovely wife, how committed she was. She died in childbirth. She was the first, the white settler's death. Her and her son died. He found out about it on his way back petitioning for statehood. Can you imagine? But he carried on. Let's go to the next slide. Here's the Indian mission. The poor children were dirty and they were covered with vermin. Cyrus Shepherd, which was the first teacher, missionary teacher to Oregon, made them clothes out of cloth that had been used in packing. Jason Lee saw that they were bathed and that the vermin were killed. That's good religion, isn't it? The first orphanage in Oregon, here it is. Let's go to the next one. Jason Lee, this is the ship Lazon, the Mayflower of the West. Jason Lee wrote a letter to the people of the East asking for help. He asked their fathers and mothers, boys and girls came to the Willamette Valley to live. He thought that if families of white people made homes there, the Indians would learn to live as they did with these new families. This was a huge endeavor. The greatest missionary thrust in the nation of America. Let's go to the next one. Here's the Jason Lee house. This was his parsonage. I've been. It's the oldest framed building in the Oregon Territory that's standing. There it is, built in 1841. Let's go to the next one. They even got a grist mill, sawmill. Amen? Any business people here? You can connect this with business folks. Hallelujah. First businessman now. But it was out of necessity. Let's go to the next one. Here he is, Bible and petition in hand again. Jason Lee was a great man. This is what they're teaching third graders. In 1962, it's not that long ago, is it? Lest we forget. He was a great man. He helped win the Oregon country for the United States. He built the first mission for Indians in the Northwest. He founded Willamette University. You ever heard of Willamette University? First and oldest university west of the Rockies. Who was the founder of it? Jason Lee. Who were the trustees? The missionaries. Similar to our great East Coast schools, Harvard and Yale and Princeton. To what? Those were built to train ministers.
Yeah. Right.
Jason Lee Methodist Church is named after him. He started our own city of Salem. Salem, which means what? Peace. The city of peace. King of peace. Let's go to the next one. Here's the paper. Look at this. Statesman Journal, Centennial Edition, 1859 to 1959. Mission established here in 1834. It tells the story. The response of the Indians. You know what the church identified this as? The Macedonian call of the West. You know in Acts there where Paul had that vision from the man from Macedonia, come help us, come preach to us? They identified all the churches, all the denominations, identified the Indians calling, inviting them to come and preach to them. They identified it as the Macedonian call of the West.
Amen.
Let's go. The next one here. Here's some of these books. Amen. Oh, glory. We've got to get them all reprinted. Let's go to the next one. No Man Like Joe Meek, that's legendary in Oregon, the line in the sand, Who's for a Divide? When the Shampooey, right here, July 5th, 1843, first elected body of the Oregon Territory of a provisional government. Look at these names, right? These are the elected officials here. Oregon's organic law, I mean, you read that, it's freedom of religion. Now, Right here. This certifies here. These are the committee that swore him in. Jason Lee. This is the committee. Jason Lee, Gustavus Hines, Harvey Clark, David Leslie. All preachers! The preachers are leading the way! April 19th, 1775. British are coming. British are coming. For what? They're coming to take our ammo and stockade of powder and weapons. What are we going to do? You ever heard of Pastor Jonas Clark? Led the church there at Lexington? He stepped out April 19th, 1775, with his Minutemen. Who are those Minutemen? The prisoners, the men of the church. They stood up and said, no, you're not coming through us. Thus, the shot that was fired that was heard around the world that started the Revolutionary War. You know who took a stand first? Pastor Jonas Clark with his men. April 19th. You know when they dedicated this Circuit Rider statue? You know what day they chose specifically? April the 19th. Commemorate the Battle of Lexington. They were patriotic over the mission. Over in the mission there, over the fireplace, you know what was tacked on the wall? Declaration of Independence. Let's go to the next one here. That's a copy of one of the original there that same day. Gustavus Hine, the chair here, he was missionary with Jason Lee. Let's go to the next one, please. The paper of Oregon's centennial again, validating these things. Let's go to the next one. There's the picture from this, see this painting up here and we had up on the screen? This is the dedication. That day, you know who this is right here? That's Judge Charles Carey. Judge Charles Carey, the leading historian of Oregon. Judge Carey. Right here is a copy of the entire ceremony, the prayers, the speeches. The governor commissioned 25 people to unveil this. The governor of Oregon. Here's a list of 25 people, the preachers and the statesmen together. You know what the governor said? It's right in here. This is where I got it. Here's Governor Walter Pierce right here. You know what he said? The spirit of the Circuit Rider is part and parcel of our humanity. It's been woven into our very nature. What is the spirit of the Circuit Rider? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Ghost in men. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, calling men unto Himself. Now, what's up with the Circuit Rider? What's up with that? After 10 years, Jason Lee died. He died. The Great Migration, the Oregon Trail, here they come. 300,000 people. Let me tell you, most people came out here for the right motives. Don't let anyone tell you that they're all evil and corrupt. Most of them weren't. They came because God put it in their hearts. How could 300,000 people come and risk it all if God didn't put it in their hearts? You know who was stirring it up when he was back there? Jason Lee. That's why he represents Oregon to the nation's capital. So here, this was a big day. Because after the next phase and the next couple phases of ministry, these settlers are settling all over the Oregon Territory, but they don't have churches yet, so who are they going to hunt down? Who are they going to come? Who's going to come preach to them? The Circuit Rider preachers? Yep. This book right here, we don't have time to get in this. This gives some of the stories the first time the Circuit Rider preachers would show up in a log home, or they'd have camp meeting. Conversions. I mean, turning the whole homes and territory, their land, as an altar before God. We got the first camp meeting that took place in the Oregon Territory. Camp meeting, hallelujah. We'll just have to come back another time and catch the rest of this. But this was a big day in Oregon, monumental day. The dedication of the Circuit Rider statue. This is where it got started for me. A statue in Salem. I've been on fire. Church, I've been on fire for over 20 years now. And my life and ministry has I've received further direction of the Lord. Amen. Because I was looking on what's inscribed in a statue. If it doesn't excite preachers, you got a preacher on horse with Bible in hand on our state capitol grounds. We need to make sure you get out of your lukewarm condition. Amen. Let's go to the next one here. We'll wrap this up. There's a couple more. That's the old capitol there. We can go to the next one. This back in the third grade curriculum. There it is, talking about the Circuit Riders. Families came a long way and were kind to the Circuit Rider. They liked to have him spend nights with him. They were so well received. Let's go to the next one. There's in the paper again. Hallelujah. How'd you find this paper? Just led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Okay, this is a paper we dedicated to the state of Oregon. Here, I'll comment out on that in just a moment. Let's go back. One more here. Next one. Oh, that's a local article. Okay, next one. Those are some of the three diary or copies of the diary of Jason Lee. Next one. Oregon's Bible Found. What's that all about? By the way, that's me right there with the Bible, this Bible right here, in the House of Representatives in the Capitol in Salem, February 14th, 2009, just a couple months back. You want me to share about that as we close here? I'll probably add that one. Okay, let's go to the next one. There's me praying, and here's the people in the Oregon House, and the statue of Jason Lee. What am I praying? What am I praying? I'm praying a prayer that I found from 100 years ago in 1909 at the 50-year celebration of statehood. I found it and I said, hey, maybe we could, you know, because I'm trying to figure out, do I invite myself or do I wait for an invitation? Well, I think they're pretty much one and the same.
Yeah.
I've been leading a Bible study in the Capitol. Former Senator Starr, the conscience of the Senate, he invited me to help with that. So I've been preaching in the Capitol, in the House of Representatives, in the fourth room in the conference room. Doing what? Telling these stories? Just this week I told Oregon's Amazing Miracle. Remember that one? Man was right. Last time I was here I preached on that. Sharing that. Hallelujah. I'm sharing this stuff. They don't know this stuff. Preachers don't know it. I didn't know it, but I know it now. And I've got a mission here. Everybody in the state of Oregon and the Oregon territory is going to hear about these things. I've been saying it for months now. You know what? It's going to come to pass. Because you know what? You're going to start telling it. You're going to start telling it. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back to the first one here. Now let's just leave it there. Let's leave it there. Too late? Okay. But that prayer that I prayed, found from 100 years ago, it talked about the alabaster flask being broken that day. That the memory of the pioneer men and women would fill the House and the Senate and the governor and his officials. That we would never forget. Say. And it says, until we hear the voice of the Son of God, and I added, the Lord Jesus Christ be heard descending from the clouds. In that prayer, they're talking about the return of Christ. So I was able to pray that. Normally they give you 2 or 3 minutes, but I had about 8 or 9 or 10. It was the special, you know, this year is Oregon's celebration of statehood. 150 years sesquicentennial. February 14th, 1859, Oregon became a state, the 33rd Union. 33rd in the Union. We feel so strong. There's a window of opportunity. Go tell this message right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. So we're doing it. But in the process of all this, discovering all these things, we had a camp meeting in Turner, Oregon, just south of Salem last year. Brother Dean Braxton came down, and our brother Billy Joe was with him. They came down for one night. But we just felt, let's have a camp meeting. This tabernacle was built in 1891 for revival meetings. John G. Lakes preached in it. There's nothing like it in the West, on the West Coast, man. You got to come down and check it out. So we thought, let's start it. We had 10 or 12 different preachers come and preach and share and minister. But 3 days before this camp meeting, I felt compelled in my heart. I got to get away for a day. I got to pray. I got to get with the Lord and get ready for these meetings. I felt compelled. It wasn't just, sometimes there's just a casual leading or you're not even conscious, but this one I felt compelled. Get over there. Get over to Lincoln City. You ever been to Lincoln City? Depot Bay just south of there. Get over there. So I go. I've been looking for old, you know, these, I know what I'm looking for now, these old missionary history books. But wouldn't it be great to find a Bible from 1831? The picture, the one we had up there, I had that, didn't even know I had it. But it's in German, but 1831. But I thought, wouldn't it be great to find a Bible from 1831? I walked in this bookstore, Channel Books. You got any old Bibles? Well, we got this one. Pick this baby up. Well, this looks good, doesn't it? Yeah. Pastor Jan, he's got to see this thing. Being the scriptorian that he is. The Book of Heaven. Woo! Okay, now. The successor of Jason Lee, I didn't even get into that, was William Roberts. After Jason Lee died, here comes William Roberts. He succeeded Jason Lee. He was the first circuit rider preacher of Oregon. He appointed the conferences where these circuit rider preachers would go and have their circuit and go preach, hunt down the families to preach. His name was William Roberts. This Bible here, he pulls it out. He says, yeah, I think it's pretty historic. I open it up. I thought, this is the most beautiful Bible I've ever seen. Isn't it to you? I mean, it is to me. There's an index card here. Here's what it reads. Presented by James C. Tahaski of New Brunswick, New Jersey, to Reverend William Roberts for the Oregon Mission. You know, I have a tendency to be a bit expressive on occasion. But I'm holding it together pretty good on the outside. I'm thinking, now, not the Reverend William Roberts, the successor of Jason Lee that we're going to be talking about in our camp meeting here in 3 days. Not the Oregon Mission that we're talking. Oh, you have little faith. Now, I didn't even know there was such a book. But look. Or such a pulpit Bible in Oregon. Reverend Roberts was superintendent of the Methodist missions in Oregon. He was responsible for the sale of the Indian Mission School to the board organized by Jason Lee. This Bible thus passed from the Indian Mission to the Oregon Institute, which in turn became Willamette University. It was probably the first pulpit Bible brought west of the Rocky Mountains. There's a sticker right here. Library of Willamette University. I open, now those are index cards, right? Presented to Reverend William Roberts for the Methodist Episcopal Church in Oregon. Handwritten right there. It's written in one other place as well. why in the world is this? If this is what it is, why is it here? That was my first question. The lady that owned this bookstore acquired it in 1983 with all the inventory that was with it, including this Bible. This Bible has been for sale in that bookstore for at least 25 years. Waiting for the modern day circuit rider preacher. Come by, pick it up, go show the state of Oregon, go to the Oregon Territory, come to the state of Washington, and tell the roots, tell the story, hallelujah, with a modern day sign and wonder to confirm the message to revive Oregon's amazing roots. Whoa! Glory to God, hallelujah. This is your Bible. This is our Bible. Those Indians went to look for it. There's a manifestation here, hallelujah. This is part of the fruit of Brother Hagin's ministry. As he taught us to be led by the Holy Ghost, by that inward witness. Brother Hagin's shouting right now with Brother Jason Lee and William Roberts up there. Glory, with these cloud of witnesses right now, along with all of them. I'm telling you, these things are real. So now, what are we doing about it? Well, we got a tour. We're going to every county in Oregon. How many counties are in Oregon? 36. So what's today? The 24th? Memorial Day weekend here, 2009. June the 2nd, we're going to start in Vail, Oregon. Work our way through here. We got it mapped out. We're going to all 36 counties in 6 weeks. 6 weeks. We're going to hit one county courthouse a day in the evening, have a rally, invite the whole community. We'll go to the county courthouse seat, read our declaration we got, tell the story, celebrate Oregon's sesquicentennial, tell the spiritual history, our Christian heritage we're reclaiming, reviving our spiritual roots. Do you have everything in place? Why would you want to have everything in place before you did it? I mean, what faith would you need, right? We've got about 30 out of the 36 counties booked. Most of these people we haven't even met yet. But we just share the story, tell. And there's a witness of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, come on, we'll host it. Glory! What do you say that we stand up together? Let's stand up. Amen. Let's reclaim our spiritual heritage. Reclaim our Christian heritage and roots in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for an impartation this day into each and every one of your precious people here, that they would become now proud messengers of our great historic spiritual heritage of the Oregon Territory, Lord. We know that it is something we can be, it can be used as a soul-winning endeavor. For it is a soul-winning endeavor. It's evangelistic, but Lord, it is a way to unite us. Amen. On our common core values of the Word of God, the Book of Heaven, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to win every man, woman, and boy and girl before it's too late for your coming back, Lord. Amen. And so we ask for this impartation here to this precious, powerful, wonderful church. And we just give you all praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Come take a look at the Bible when you want. Hallelujah.